Okay, gentlemen, we're continuing in the Rambam Hilchas Geneva Perek Hey Halacha Zayin. We're continuing with the idea of Takonas Hashuk. Again, that idea is the rabbi said that in order to keep commerce going in a way that people aren't worried that if they buy something they may lose it because they bought it from someone who stole. So therefore, their halacha, the basic halacha is if you bought something and you didn't know it was a stolen object, when we catch the ganef, and now the object was with you, that object that you have must go back to the owner, and the owner pays you for what you paid for it, and then the owner has to go to the ganef and deal with the ganef. Unless you bought it for someone who's suspected as a thief, and someone suspected as a thief, then that's your fault, it goes back to the owner, and you have to pay back. And that's all if the owner was not miyayish, she didn't give up. If he gave up hope, then you keep it, and then there has to be payments made, etc., etc. So we're moving on to Halacha Zion now, if I'm not mistaken. And if we really are good, we could finish the parak today, if we be bold. But let's see. Halokeach miganav she'enem aforsim. If a person buys from a not well-known ganav, so you didn't assume it was a ganav, you bought regular buying, you don't know. Now, bein shalokach mimenu shava mea b'masayim, it doesn't matter if, let's say, he bought an object that was generally worth $100, and he paid $200 for it. Oh, shavim asayim, or the object was worth $200, but man, he paid $100. So now, what is the law? What is the law as far as you know right now? What's the law? The item goes back to the owner, and the owner pays. So he pays what he paid. Exactly. Now, this halacha seems to not be saying more than we learned halacha dalid, that when there's no witnesses as to what it is, we say that the buyer swears what it was you pay. So what's the Rambam adding over here? So the Orach HaShulchan explains the following, but let's learn the halacha. You're correct. Let's finish the halacha. Reza not l'hadami balabais. This guy takes money from the owner. The original owner pays the buyer whatever it was, the 200 or the 100. V'yagach machzer ha-geneva. Then he returns the object that was stolen. Mipnei takonas ha-shuk. And that is the judgment that allows the business to continue. Bukumashmar, as we explain. So why is Rambam adding this case? What's new? So what's new is as follows. We might suspect the following. When you buy a $100 object for $200, why'd you pay $200 for the object? It could very well be that the buyer was in cahoots with the ganef. Now think about this. What he really is doing is giving the ganef a $100 gift. Let's say the ganef could say, listen, do me a favor, give me $200 for this. It'll be a donation for me. What are you worried about? When I'll get caught, you know, the guy's going to have to pay you the $200 for it. And when he comes to me, he's only going to pay $100 to get the object because that's really what it costs. So that could be what would be happening over there. Or when the guy only pays half the value, $100 for $200, we're going to say, didn't you think it was a stolen item? How could you get it for so cheap? So what do we say? We don't say that. Why? Because there are times if a buyer really needs something, he's willing to double the price. And if there's a time where a seller's in a hurry to sell something, a person will sell something for cheap. So we don't say and suspect that there was all kinds of collusion going on. However, says Orach HaShulchan, if everywhere you go in town, the item's $100. I mean, everywhere. You go to Walmart, you go to this place and that place, and it's $100 everywhere. And the guy spent $200. If that's the case, then we're quite suspicious and we would not give him the $200. But there is room for movement over here because there could be pressed times and that's why the sale price is less. Okay, next page, 188, 199. Halacha Ches is a very interesting case here. All these things are very fascinating cases. Hoyanoisha began of Meazuz. All right, there's this fellow who was owed. Noisha literally means it's biting. Meaning to say, a fellow, a ganef owes him $100. I lent you $100, and now he's like, he wants his $100 back. He's noisha. He's claiming his $100. So, what does the ganef do? We had this case once, we're gonna have a little bit more now. So, ganef comes along, steals something worth $100 and pays the guy back. So now, v'ganef, v'hevi l'balchova. And he's gone, he still says, okay, here's an item, it's worth $100. Then the ganef turns around and says, oh, you know what? I need to borrow another $100. And now he lends him another $100. Okay, so now let's think about this for a minute. He borrowed $100. He stole to pay off the $100. Then after he pays the $100, he turns around, I don't know, it could be 10 minutes later, an hour later, whatever, says, I want to borrow $100. He says, here's the item for the $100 I owed you, you know, and then, you know, can I borrow another $100? Something along those lines. So now let's logically put the pieces here and let's look at the two sides of the coin. Now that which normally, if we forget about that second borrowing, what would you know the halacha to be just if he gives him the item to pay back? What have we already learned from yesterday? Do we apply takanas hashuk to pay debts?
No,
only when it's out of pocket expense. So we'd say, listen, the first thing he paid off to you, he wasn't entitled to pay you. That's going to go back to the owner. Wait a minute now. That's going back to the owner. And now I lent him another $100. Now I'm going to owe him $200. On the other hand, what about if I lend you money, but you have to give me a mashkin for it? You have to give me a collateral for it. Then we say, he keeps it. There's a takanas hashuk, and the owner has to pay him for that mashkin, right? So now this case is kind of in between and in betwixt. Because there's reasons ahin and reasons ahair. We could say, listen, on the one hand, listen, the guy paid you back $100, it wasn't entitled to pay you back with that, and you didn't invest any money, it was already an outstanding loan, so forget it. So that thing's gotta go back to the owner, and you're out of luck, buddy. And the $100, you can go to the Ganav and ask for his $100 that he owes you from the debt. And the fact there's a second loan, that's a second loan. And now there's another loan. So now you gotta get $200 from the Ganav. The other end of the guy will say, no. Maybe that first $100, okay. I can't argue on the first $100 because it came from a not correct source. But the only reason I gave him the second $100 is because he paid me back from the first $100. So that shouldn't be different than a mashkon and a collateral. So now we've got two sides of the coin how to look at the case. So let's see what the Rambam says. The halacha is, hare hagneva choseres labaleha. The item that was stolen that he gave him to pay that first $100 debt, it goes back to the owner, and the owner does not pay the buyer for it. That's it. The Omrim was then, we tell the guy who lent the money, Lech utva haganav masayim. Go claim $200 from the ganav. And the theory that we go with is the following, because shalo nesatel ameach eres, bipnei achevetz shehevi l'cha bevad. You didn't give him that second $100 only because he gave you the item. How do we know this? Because kashem shemantav rishonah, just like you trust him for the first $100 without an item, hemantav rechana, you trust him with the second $100 as well. Even though you could say that maybe, and that's what the Ram holds. Now, but wait a minute. You gotta say, wait a minute, I trusted him for $100. Who said I trusted him for $200? And maybe for $200 I would not have trusted him. Right? So that may be that so, but the fact of the matter is, this item did belong to the owner, and that's for sure, it's got to go back to the owner. Maybe that's what you wanted to do? Well, you know, we can't really know that for sure. However, if categorically, if the guy lends the money, says, I'm not lending any money, you owe me $100. And the guy says, here's the item, you see, I paid you back, and now will you trust me for that $100? That is tantamount to being a mashkin, that's tantamount to being collateral. Because he's saying that the fact that I'm giving you and I'm paying you off that debt. So then the owner's kind of saying, I would never give you another $100 till you pay me off that thing. So when it's clearly done that way and there'd be witnesses to that effect, then we would say there's a takanas hashavim and he'd have to get you'd give it back, but you'd get the $100 from the owner, then he'd have to go to the ganav for that. But generally speaking, we don't assume that that happens, and generally speaking, the guy's got to collect his $200. Yeah?
Does it matter whether the item that he gives is worth
I don't want to get into that. Theoretically, it shouldn't make a difference.
If it's worth $200, then it serves as both class.
No, it was a case that was just $100. The case just $100. Okay, moving on now. Test is a different one. Okay, now it gets really interesting. So far we know, there's a takanas hashuk. If somebody buys something and it turns out to have been a ganav, we say we ensure that the guy who bought it doesn't lose. The item goes back to the owner, but the owner has to pay him back $100. That we know. If it was a well-known ganav, then it's your fault. The item goes back and it's your problem. Now we're going to take it one step further. A ganav sold it to somebody, and now somebody sold it to somebody else. We take it one step further. Okay? Now let's go with the simple case first. You didn't know the guy was a ganav. He sells you something. Let's say like this. He sells it to you for $100. He has the shtender. You don't know it's stolen. He sells you for $100. Now, you could be a businessman yourself. So you get this for $100, you turn around and sell to somebody else for $120. Okay? Now, we catch the ganav, if we know what's going on over here. What would takanas hashuk tell us over here? Well, one thing is for sure. The item now, where it is, by the second buyer, where does that item have to go?
Back to the owner.
It has to go back to the owner. Why? Because it's no different than anything else. the owner was not miyayish, we're assuming he wasn't miyayish. It's miyayish, different cases. If he didn't give up hope, that item was never allowed to be sold to begin with, and that's it. And it still, it belongs to the owner. So that's gotta go back to the original owner. Okay, let's go back to the original owner. Now, takona sashuk, this decree that buyer shouldn't lose out, what's gonna have to be? The second buyer, he's for sure in the clear, no matter what the first buyer was. Even if he thought it was a god, if it wasn't a god, the second guy's just buying it from a guy. It's not even a guy who sold. Stole. So clearly, the second guy's gotta get his money back. Alright, so now let's logically try to go through this process now. So the second guy's gotta give the shtender back the original owner. What's the original owner gotta pay the second guy?
Nothing.
What has he gotta pay the second guy? What?
No, he can't pay 120.
Why not?
Because why should he pay him his profit?
The second guy, a nice guy walking around, he buys it from somebody for $120. If he's not going to get his $120 back, he's never going to buy anything from anybody again, right? Remember, that's the whole theory of Takana Sashuk. So what has to happen? This guy who spent $120, he's got to get $120 back, right? So the owner now is going to have to get the item back. He's going to have to give that $120. So what's the problem, Martin? The owner is out $20. He's out $20. No, he's not. He will now go to the first seller and say, you know what? You bought it for $100 from the ganef, yeah? But you sold it for $120. Takana sashuk does not allow someone to make profit on something that is stolen. It only is there so you don't lose money that you put out. So the second guy who put out $120, he's not supposed to lose a penny. So he's got to get $120 from the original owner. Now, the guy who sold it to the second guy, the first seller, where is he right now? He made $20 profit. So $20 profit from something that's stolen, there's no takana sashuk for you to make profit. So now the original owner goes to the first seller and collects his profit of $20. And then what has to happen?
You gotta go to the thief.
And then if you want to go to the thief, you deal with that's how we're gonna get that look. So let's take a look. Let's take a look and see what's going on over here. Okay? Test. Lokach miganav she'ena mefursim b'meya. You buy it from a ganav who is not well known for $100. Step one. Umachar la'acher b'meya v'eshin. He sells to somebody else for $120. For hukar a ganav, and then we catch the ganav. So, bal ha'geneva, the owner of the object that was stolen, no sein l'zeh ha'achron meya v'eshin v'naitel k'nevasa. He takes $120, he pays it to the second buyer, he gets his item back. And now he takes 20, and he takes that profit from the buyer. Okay, he's got the 20 from the buyer. And he takes 100 from the ganav. He takes 100 from the ganav, and therefore, and everything is taken care of. Because how's he going to get his $100? He has to get his $100, the original $100 from the ganav.
Doesn't he get it? If the thief is caught, he gives kafel anyways. Well, more than that, 4 and 5.
So that's the other things he's got to collect from him.
Yeah.
He's got to collect from him.
Well, that's
a point, so it comes out that takana sashuk only protects what the buyer spends, but doesn't protect the guy from the profits that he would have gotten from it. So the profits he doesn't get from it. He doesn't get from the profits. Now, let's go one more step. What if im ganef mefursamu? But what if the middle guy, the guy who the first buyer, knew he was buying from a ganef? Okay, so now he's done something he shouldn't have done. And now he sold it to somebody else. So what's going to be? So the Rambam goes on. He doesn't say the first step because the first step is obvious. He skips it, but it's obvious. The owner, again, what has to happen before we even think about anything else?
The second guy is innocent.
The second guy, the item goes back to the original owner, and the second guy gets $120 from the original owner. That has to happen, right? The Imhagan, first of all, that happens, and then Notel, now the owner comes along, and Notel, Hameya Ve'esri, Min HaTagar, Shalokik Me'naganav. Then the original owner takes $120 from the buyer, the first buyer, because he shouldn't have bought it. That's straight out, because that was total negligence on his part. And now the buyer, if he wants, he can go to the ganav and get $100 from the ganav, and that's his problem. And if he can't get from ganav, that's your problem. Who said you should have bought from that ganav? Right? Now, for who I didn't. And similarly, even if there's a second guy sold to a third guy, and a third guy to a fourth guy, and a fourth guy to a fifth guy, etc., 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 would be this, even 100 people. Who know, tell me, if everyone takes from the other that profit, if you take the care of the initial one from the ganav. In other words, we would just play it out. The last item would go to the owner, and then people would be collecting from each other profits that came, so nobody gets any profit over there. This offspring with the owner was not miyayish, of course. He didn't give up hope. Kamoshmano, as we explained, if there would be yush, if the guy would have given hope, then a whole different scenario comes out because the item stays with the buyer, and they have to go and do other things. Fine. Halacha yud. We're on a roll now. So now, the next three halachas are going to deal with a new idea within this. It's not hard. You just have to chazer over. Okay. This is a case now, what we're going to show. Normally, circumstantial evidence is not accepted in a Jewish court of law. We will see some examples, though, where the rabbis have discretion, and they allow circumstantial evidence to be accepted. And here will be an example of this happening. Halacha yud. Bal habayis she'eino osui limkor es kelev. Let's say a regular balabas, a homeowner, who usually doesn't sell the stuff in his house. He's not a seller of anything. Like you and I, we have stuff in our house. Okay? You have a shtender in your house, let's say. Okay. Now, what happens? V'yotzalo shem geneva be'ir. Then comes out a rumor in the city, they're all talking, that somebody stole something from this guy's house. They're talking, however the rumors are, it's a real rumor, not just, you know, stam, but it's a rumor, there's talk out there. Hey, you know, there's an item, they're not sure what the item is, but somebody stole something from Shmuel's house over there, and the talk is out there. Now, what happens? Shmuel's walking along one day, and he noticed his shtender is missing. And he looks and he sees in somebody's house his shtender. It's his shtender. Okay? Whatever. Vehikir Caleb. He recognizes his items. Usfarv or his books, Biarachem, that somebody else has. Okay. So now, what is the Shaila here? Now, can the original owner claim that the guy who has it stole it from him? No. He can't claim he stole it from him. There's no witnesses the guy stole it from him. Now, it could very well, it's my shtender is in that guy's house. That could very well be. Can he say he stole? He can't say he stole. He's got no proof at all. But what could he say? How is he in possession? A ganef that we don't know who it is, stole it. And now this guy bought it from the ganef. Or whatever, let's assume a simple case. We'll take a simple case. I'm not going to go selling. Let's just a simple case. You got it. You probably bought it from somebody. And now I would like to employ the takonas hashuk and say that I want my shtender back. I have a very emotional attachment to the shtender. I've been doubting it for 5 years. And I want the shtender back. Now, so here's the question. The guy who bought it said, listen, I paid it for a shtender. I don't want the shtender to go back and you give me the money back because I got to go to the store and look again for a shtender and this and that. And you have no proof. There are no witnesses to this fact. So I don't want to do this. The other guy is saying, wait a minute, but there is circumstantial evidence that perhaps would be enough to at least, I'm not claiming you stole it, but I'm claiming you bought it from somebody who stole it. And I would like to get the item back and I'll pay you for it. The other guy says, I don't know if it was stolen. I know that the guy stole it. So that's the Shaila over here. Can the owner force the guy who has this item, when he probably bought it, we assume he bought it, to force him to do the takanas hashuk so that the owner could have the item that he wants? So, or another, next page, another similar scenario. It's going to be the same case. Or let's say, Shahayu Asi Limkor, let's say that this owner does sell things. He has a store. He sells things. However, but v'hayu kein la'elu, but these specific items, shehikir, that have been recognized in the other guy's possession that are his, they are mikelim asuim l'hashalaskir. We know these are utensils he never sold. He would maybe rent them or lend them, but he never would sell these kinds of things. And the Rambam explains what kind of items they are. Large pots used to cook for catering institutions or jewelry lent out for brides. But in other words, he does sell things, but these things he would never sell. It's the same as the first case. We're just trying to craft the case where we know he wouldn't have sold it. So what do we have over here? We have a case of a bit of circumstantial evidence over here. Now, normally, if this owner, if I would just go to you one day and say, you know, that shtender's mine, I want you to give it back to me. We say nothing doing. He said, well, I think you bought it from someone who stole from me. I'm going to buy it back. He says, what are you talking about? I got it from somebody. What have any business with you? Normally, you can't do this at all. All right? But over here we have circumstantial evidence of two factors. Number one, there's a rumor out there. The rumor says we know a ganav stole from this guy's house. We know it. So we know something was stolen, number one. And we also know he doesn't sell anything in his house. So what do we have together here? We know something was stolen from your house. We know you don't ever sell anything. Because if we knew you would have sold, which will be the next halacha, then we can assume that maybe you sold it to somebody and he sold it to somebody else. But we know you don't sell. So what do we know for sure? Something was stolen from your house. And now guess what? The shtender that is normally in your house is in this other guy's house. And there's witnesses to the fact that know that this guy's got it and it's his shtender. So now, did we see anybody steal it? But the circumstantial evidence allows us to employ the takonas ashuk, which will force the buyer to give back the item, and then he'll pay the $100 or whatever that was worth it. And that's what he says. Im bo eidim shezeh kalev shelzeh. If witnesses come along and say that these items are certainly the original owner's items. That's important. There have to be witnesses. If there are no witnesses, we'll say, maybe it's not yours. It could be somebody else's. We have to know it is his. We know it's his. Whatever. However they know. Similar, whatever. But we know it's his. So now that we know it's his, we know something was stolen, and we know he doesn't sell. So that's enough circumstantial evidence to say what? So the buyer, now, do we know how much he paid for it?
No.
We don't know how much. How are we gonna know how much to give him? He's got to swear how much he's paid for it. So this one will swear by holding on to a holy object, and by holding on to the holy object, he says how much it is. And he collects from the balabais the money, and he has to give him back his utensils that he takes from him. Clear case, right? Want to try one more? It's the same idea. It's just a reverse now. It's the same halacha, but here it's going to be, it's the same halacha, just one difference. The guy was stolen from, he normally does sell items. It's the same, everything the same, but he normally sells items. So now how good is the circumstantial evidence now? We do know something was stolen from him. We do know that. But the fact that this shtender's in somebody else's house, how do we know that he didn't sell it to somebody and then somebody sold it to that guy? So that will not be enough circumstantial evidence to force and extract the takanas shuk from the guy. Yeah?
There's no value to the fact that he's asking for it back.
Doesn't matter. You know what? You probably sold it to somebody and now you're having second thoughts and I don't want to sell it back to you. The only time we say this if we know it was stolen. If we know it was stolen, then he has a right to get it back. Generally, we know who the ganef is, so it makes it life easier. Here, we didn't know who the ganef was, but through circumstantial evidence, we forced the guy to give it back to him through takanas ashuk. But here, what your circumstantial evidence is not strong enough. All we know is, yes, something was stolen. Granted. But you know what? That shtender, you sell that shtender. We've seen you sell many shtenders. So it could be this shtender was stolen from you. It could be you sold it. Now, when you sell someone to somebody, you go over to him and say, you know, I changed my mind. I know I sold to you 3 weeks ago. I want it back. Nothing doing. Get out of here. I bought it. I don't have to give it back to you. So if there's not enough circumstantial evidence, we're not forced to go back. That's exactly the next few lines. Yud Aleph. Hoya balabais osu liam kuras caleb. Let's say this owner normally does sell his utensils. And this were not things he would normally lend or rent out. It was things he would sell. Finished. Even though rumor went out that it was stolen, and even though there are witnesses, this is his item. It was in his house it was in his store a week ago. So you know it was his. For sure it was his. And there's rumors that something was stolen. However, there's not enough circumstantial evidence because it could very well be that he sold it to somebody else who then sold it to him. So, he can't get it back from the buyer. Why? Because maybe he sold it to somebody else. However, let's give one more case to show an obvious thing who would make it give it back. What about like this? Let's say people came to this guy's house. Same case. The guy normally sells things. They go into his house, his store, whatever, and they sleep there overnight. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, we hear the owner screaming. And everybody hears, he's screaming. They're stealing my stuff. They're stealing my stuff. He's yelling and screaming. Yeah? And then people are running, and look what they see. They see the basement's got broken a hole in it. There's a big gaping hole in the wall in the basement. And the people who were sleeping there, and we see they got a bundle, a bag, and stuff in there that they're schlepping out of them. Right? And everybody saying, and they look, those are the books of so and so. Right? And then, you know, and then a couple weeks later we didn't catch the ganavs. And then we find these items in somebody else's house. And now the goner comes and says, those are my things. So in that, even though he normally sells things, which would not allow us to have circumstantial evidence, but here we got plenty of circumstantial evidence. The guy screaming was stolen. People see that these guys stole the thing. And now it's with somebody else. In that case, I raised them and we're going to believe the owner. And therefore, the Shavazah, this guy who bought these items, he swears, Benikita Schev is holding an object, coming home, tell how much he paid for it. He takes it from the owner, he takes the money from the owner, and he returns the item to him. Okay, we're only one halacha short. One more case, we'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, a similar type of situation.